Is that your green screen behind you?
Yeah.
Wow, it's like Disney.
Yeah, I can change it too.
Wow.
Thanks. I worked hard for this.
You mean it's not a green screen though, it's like an office.
It's a green curtain.
All the way across there.
Mm-hmm. There's a pole in the top, and then I pull this green screen over. I mean, it's just green fabric with loops in it, and actually not even loops, they're little loops that connect. And then I can, in Zoom, I can select any background I want. I can upload a picture or anything. So, so I've worked hard, but it's working now.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah, I wondered if you had a new office.
Oh, yeah, no. I should change it every time. That would be fun. I could be on an island.
Yeah.
And I put up pretty extensive lighting, too. We really played with that for a long time. But if anybody wants any information on, you know, what we did, I can take pictures and send lists of equipment or whatever. But you guys look good. So I just, I know I'm going to try to make video blogs. I did one and I'm probably going to do more. So I wanted it for this and for that. So.
Good.
Yeah.
So do you know Vicky's coming?
She didn't communicate. What about Carissa? Carissa was not, is that right?
You told me she wasn't coming.
Right. Okay. So was there anyone? Who else is there?
That's it.
Oh, what about Ariana? Oh, she's here, she's not. Okay. So, and yeah, Vicky. Okay. And I'm working on getting another career/job search coach. So hopefully that will be coming on pretty soon. So then we'll have more people to talk and play with. Let me just double check that I really, okay. I'm really looking forward to this, Katie.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I dug deep for the client that's difficult.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. Usually my clients that are difficult are in a different category.
Yeah, I thought of one client through GPS and he ended up stopping coaching.
Yeah.
He just wasn't willing.
Yeah, yeah. And what I tried to do is come up with one that was hard but was a success.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I found a couple, but I just wrote up one. But I'm going to use those, I think, as success stories. So This is going to be really helpful.
Well, we should go ahead and start.
Yeah.
Do you want to turn the recording on?
It's on.
Oh, it is on.
But what I'm going to do is give the codes. So the start code is spooky. The start code today is spooky. So, and Katie is leading us today, so I will throw it over to her. And my only other, I hope it's okay if I participate with you as a participant, and I will give the end code, and Chris will help me remember.
I'm afraid I have to leave about 5 minutes ahead of time. So.
Okay, well, just say it to me before you leave.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So we'll start. So we can go around. We don't really have to say where we're from because we all know where we're from. It's kind of a small group. You can if you want to. And we'll start with our elevator pitches and just to hear what people are saying. I crafted a whole new elevator pitch.
Awesome.
And I want to get feedback on it because I'm sick of saying I'm an executive coach. Too many people are saying that.
Yeah.
So I'm changing it up. So who wants, anybody want to go volunteer to go first?
Well, I can go first because I was pitching a bitch as I was doing this. And this is new, so I'm going to have to read it because I'm not comfortable enough to say it otherwise. And I did add where I was from in it. My name is Chris Sear, and I'm a career coach located in Shelby Township, Michigan. I work with corporate leaders who find themselves in situations where they want or need to explore various career options, either in their present occupation or transition to something new. I help them develop a strong personal brand, create a plan for their next steps, and execute job search strategies to achieve their career goals doing the work they love.
Cool.
I don't know if that, you know, I'm very rusty on that. I don't know if that's good, bad, indifferent. Does it say what it, does it make clear? Is it got punch? I don't know.
Chris, can I ask you to repeat the last sentence again?
Sure.
Thank you.
I help them develop a strong personal brand, create a plan for their next steps, and execute job search strategies to achieve their career goals doing the work they love.
I think it sounded great. It's very clear what you do and the elements of what you do, and it would provoke me to ask more questions.
Oh, good. I did one for leadership, too, because I'm all over the place. So, great. Thank you. Anyone else?
It's very clear, and and I agree. It's it includes lots of different elements. So if someone is thinking about one thing, like it, you know, you cover a broad enough area.
Okay.
It could be broadly applicable. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
And I think it's great. Hopefully, when you actually did it, you'd have a little bit more passion. But I know you're just reading it today. But I thought it was awesome.
Thank you.
Ariana, you want to go, or Donna, or do you want me to go?
Sure, I can go.
Okay, cool.
And it's funny because this often changes too. So I feel like I almost rewrote mine, but you know, it's when I say it in person, it it comes out a little bit different every time, I find. But I'm gonna read it because it's anyway. So I help professionals and leaders create a career they love. As a career and executive coach, I support professionals in gaining clarity on what they want and need in their career and to create a plan to achieve it. I specialize in career navigation, job search, skill development, leadership, increasing confidence, and balance. So that's it. I have one for specifically leaders, but if they're coming to me for career navigation, that's the one I would use.
I like that.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, I especially liked in both of yours the plan to achieve it, because I think that's a lot of times what they're coming to us for is that they can't achieve it. So I liked that piece, and I liked the thing about confidence, because I think a lot of people struggle with that. I don't think they want to say that, but I think they really struggle with confidence. So I thought it was great.
That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go next.
Great.
Mine's totally different. Okay, and I'm going to read it because I haven't memorized it. I'm a transformational coach that supports clients in looking at the beliefs that sabotage their desires so they can shift and put in place simple strategies that serve their growth and create their desires. I've coached over 2,000 hours in the areas of career and business, and have coached executives, professionals, business owners, peer groups, and coaches in creating more productive and happier lives. I am super excited to be helping professionals live more congruent to who they are so they can bring the gifts and talents more fully into the companies they run, the goals they desire to achieve, and the people they lead.
I like it.
I think transformational, because I think that's what we all do, is help them to transform into the person or life experience that they're wanting. I really like that. And I liked adding in how many hours that you've done it. That experience piece, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
I'll be changing mine a little bit as we go along.
Well, that's the point, right? Ariana, comment?
I liked the, I liked the 2,000 hours. It's really impactful. Mm-hmm. I also like how you said you're passionate. And you sound passionate about it, but you've got that energy behind it, which is really compelling. So I get the sense that it would be really fun and fun to work with you.
Oh, that's good. Because I don't want people to think it's going to be all these action items.
Painful.
Right.
Yeah, because people are like, I'm not going to have time. And it's like, no, it's not about having time to get the shit done. It's about transforming your life. Mm-hmm. Right? And so many people talk about this, the doing of coaching. And I want to talk about the art of coaching. Because that's what makes me different in how I approach the internal landscape as well as the external.
I love that.
You know, and that's how I kind of communicate it to people. I say, you know, whether it's a job search, whether we're coaching around leadership or running your company, there's going to be it's a dance between what's going on inside of you and what you're doing outside of yourself. And so our conversations are going to be kind of a figure eight, right? And I have no clue where we're going to go. But we're going to talk about the internal software and infrastructure that has to change in order to create the external result.
Yeah.
So I really like the metric. And I also really like that you talk to their pain. And I think talking to their pain is what will really truly attract them. So you say sabotage their desires. I think, you know, that is a really important element and a good reminder. The word transformational is good. I almost think, is there a way to look for something else? Because it might be overused. I don't know. I just, you know, it is something
more that overused than career and executive.
I don't know. And I think it's a strong word and I think it captures us, but I just have to tell you what, you know, what happened in my gut. And I love the congruent with who they are. I think that was really powerful. So, and it's good in that case because it's not saying the word that we're used to hearing, which I've just now forgotten, authentic. I mean, authentic is good, and I put authentic in one of mine, but I think this is better because it's new language. So I like that.
And maybe I say I'm a certified coach.
Yes.
Because there's so many coaches that aren't certified.
Yes.
That's a very good point.
And I think there's more now than there ever was.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall, and I keep hearing people had bad experiences with coaching. So it's really frustrating. So should I share mine?
Yeah. Please.
Okay. I wrote three, so I think it's really, the exercise was really good for me. I'm going to use my executive and leadership one, just because that's a bigger focus for me right now. I am Donna Schilder. I'm president and CEO of Glacier Point Solutions, a coaching company. We specialize in providing executive and leadership coaching for high tech, pharmaceutical, medical device, healthcare, insurance, banking, and aerospace industries. I am a master certified coach, one of 650 worldwide, and I hand select and train all of our coaches. Our strengths include being a one-stop shop for coaching multiple leaders, being able to integrate leadership development initiatives across the whole team, and we are highly trained and experienced in business leadership. We have achieved a 4.9 out of 5 rating for our executive and leadership coaching. And I'm excited about the impact we're making on leaders and teams in large organizations. And I look forward to helping more leaders hold more efficient meetings, become more skilled at conflict resolution, work together with their teams more effectively, understand themselves, and find their authentic leadership style, and find more joy in the workplace.
I think it was too long.
I know it's too long. Yeah.
Too wordy.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the metrics and I play off that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know.
I think you could cut out a lot.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
When you were talking about the various industries that we coach in, do we need to limit it to that, or can you say various industries or something like that?
Yeah, because then it's like, oh, you only work in those industries?
Yeah, okay.
I would say you know how people, when I would headhunt, they always say, or they've even asked me this as a coach, oh, so are you, what is your industry? I say, I'm a generalist. I work in all sectors. It's more my focus is on function and competencies.
Do you think that it's helpful to maybe say various industries, including, and name two or three, just to give a little bit of a picture?
Do you, I have a question.
Limiting, yeah.
Is it against confidentiality to list a couple of companies you work with that hold more weight versus industries?
I think if they've given you a public, but here's the problem is the individuals may have given you a public testimonial, but did the organization. And so I don't know. I mean, I stretch those rules a little bit and, but
well,
yeah,
you know,
I don't know.
You could say public and private company.
Yeah. Yeah. I struggle with that. If you paint a specific picture, people get drawn in and or limiting. So like one thing that happened to me when I first started coaching was I wanted to coach retirees. And what happened was I coached people changing careers. But the fact that I said something specific, I think attracted people because I had such a specific picture. So I don't know. I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying, and then I'm struggling a little with it. So I don't know. Any thoughts?
Gee, I didn't mind the industries because I felt like they were broad enough. Like you have technical, financial. I thought there was a retail or package manufacturing or something maybe.
Mm-hmm,
in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very broad. So I feel like, and it adds credibility.
Well, perhaps it's the other part of it was so long that saying those five or six different things just felt a lot longer.
Yeah. No, it felt long when I was saying it. And I think partly in my head, I'm writing for the website more so than speaking it aloud. But I think even maybe for the website, it's too much. So I think that's really good feedback.
Hi, this is Vicky.
Oh,
this is Vicky. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. I'm sorry. I had trouble with my phone and I'm just now getting here. And I didn't hear it, but I want to give feedback to what I just heard was said. And maybe this helps that I didn't hear it, so I don't have that kind of judgment on it. One thing that's a positive for listing industries is in a communication career, I work with so many industries that think that their challenges are so unique. They just feel so comfortable hearing themselves mentioned. You know, like they think if I've been insurance, then they'll give me credit for knowing more about insurance than I do when all I'm really doing is applying communication strategy. If that makes sense, what I'm saying. So, but if they don't hear that I've worked with insurance, then they're going to ask, you know, would you have any experience in insurance?
That's great. The other thing is, I think when I actually go and do this kind of thing, I don't say what, I practice it and practice it and practice it, but when I'm in front of the person, something different comes out.
Right.
But because I practice it, I have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I don't think it's bad, though, for them to ask, so do you work in insurance? Because you're engaging them in a conversation. You want a dialogue out of the elevator pitch. You want it to provoke enough thought that the listener asks questions, and you get into a dialogue.
Yeah.
If they will. I think that's very true one-on-one. I think that it depends on the industry. Some industries are very isolated and they think that they're very unique to others.
Mm-hmm. And I almost think with the website thing, it might be good to have separate page, like multiple pages that talk about different industries because they like to feel like they're special.
Mm-hmm.
Mariana, what were you going to say? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, I was just going to go on to a couple of other things that I really liked about your pitch was highlighting that you were MCC, Master Certified Coach, and talking about how unique that is. You know, there's only one, you're one of so many individuals certified. And also talking about how, you know, all your coaches are certified and highly trained. I think that's really important as well.
And the ratings.
And the rating is the proof of incredibility, yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Okay, anything else for Donna?
Thanks.
Okay, Vicki, you want to share your elevator pitch?
Oh, without having myself to compare to others?
It's not recorded.
Not that I'll out one of my personal challenges. Okay, so I worked on this for this, and I wanted to tell you guys that honestly, in practice, if I do small networking, pretty much the first sentence is all that I regularly say. And much like what Donna said, some of this other stuff are, I've pulled together bits and pieces of what I've taught myself saying before and tried to make it a little more coherent. So some of it is new to me, and I just want to share that with you and be honest about it. So, because I tend to be all over the board in what I say, depending on what kind of reaction I get from people. And, okay, so, hi, my name is Vicki Rich, and I work out of Columbus, Ohio. I'm a next level catalyst. And I believe every person, every career, and every business has another level to reach. And it's my personal mission to help make that happen. I coach and consult with leaders, career changers, and small businesses to seek out bold solutions, vivid answers, and simple strategies for their biggest challenges.
I like it.
I do too. I like the last line, what you actually do, how you worded it.
Oh, good. And I was just thinking about what you guys had talked earlier. Like, I'm coming at it trying to be very generalist, but I don't want that to work too much against me.
I really like how, you know, you explained that you were a next level catalyst, and then your next sentence was that each individual or company has a next level to reach. It explains that how it can be applicable to anybody. I like that part of it.
Great, thanks.
I liked hearing that there is another level to reach. So that stood out to me, as well as it's my personal mission. That made it feel very like deeper. Then, so I liked that phrase. I would consider putting a metric or something about the pain they're experiencing.
Okay. First, and you might have guessed the level to reach and personal mission is the part that I'm actually have absorbed into. That's a part of me, so that probably feels more natural when I say it. And the metric or the pain challenge, and maybe you guys could help me with this. I try to do that, and then I feel like I'm getting too wordy every time I try to do that.
Yeah.
And because I would say that I'm most comfortable saying that I specialize in leadership communication and manager to employee communication and team development. And so the problems I might talk about are team dysfunction or inconsistent performance. And every time I try to talk about it, I end up building like three or four sentences and overthinking it.
Mm-hmm. I found when I used to give workshops and so forth a lot more than I do now, I would almost memorize whatever it was I was trying to say. But it would always come out different, and it would be more organic because I was so familiar with the material that it would just pop out. And if you asked me what I had said, I probably wouldn't remember exactly what I said. And I think that's true for all of us when we're talking. I mean, we put down essentially the different pieces, parts that we would like to connect with, but depending on the situation, you may veer off in a totally different direction. Mm-hmm. So it may appear wordy on paper, but when you're actually giving it, probably isn't.
Well, the other thing, Vicki, is you said you focus on team dysfunction and performance management. Just say those two
That's
words.
Okay.
Yeah, my sweet spot is team dysfunction and performance management. My clients have actually achieved blank, blank, blank. Because metrics are going to get them engaged. They're going to like, oh, she gets the bottom line versus she's just talking fluff.
Uh-huh.
I just think every elevator pitch needs a metric. Because then it shows your bandwidth.
I have something to throw out to you, Vicki. It's not the right words, but something like, I help companies improve the productivity that's impacted by bad communication.
Okay, well, no, that's good, because what I was thinking, and I guess I worry whenever I do an exercise like this to practice with somebody, I worry that what I actually say sounds too colloquial, so I try to make it sound a little better. But I think what I would say naturally is, so if you've ever experienced one of those workplaces where nobody seems to know what anybody else is doing, that's because poor communication is harming productivity, and I can help fix that.
Love that. Love that.
Okay.
Okay. You good, Vicki?
Thank you, guys. I am, thanks.
Okay. All right, so we'll move to the second round, which is our star stories or smart stories. I asked people to create one for job search and one for career clients. And so who wants to go first with sharing one of their stories? We'll start with job search.
I have one.
I didn't do one for job search. Oh, no, I did do one for job search. I didn't do one for career client.
That's fine. Okay. Ariana.
Oh, I think Donna said she had one.
And Chris said she had one.
Yeah.
Did you want to start? I thought Ariana said she'll go.
Okay. Chris, why don't you go?
All right. Now, sorry. This is my client, correct? Because that's how I did it. Okay. I have a client that comes to me every once in a while. He retired from one Fortune 200 company, and he had been an IT director at that time. In the meantime, he went to a business marketing director, and he wanted to go back to being an IT director. Because he was older and preparing for an interview, we practiced on this one thing that, because he's older, he can handle anything without getting upset. So this is what happened. The situation was, he had an extremely unhappy customer who came to his area, and in front of his team, the customer was so angry, he picked up a chair and he threw it across the room and threatened to cancel their contract immediately. So my client, needing to take care of the charge of the situation, calm the customer down and work with him to solve the crisis, what he did is, without losing his calm, he quietly asked the customer, why doesn't he come into my office, which he did. And when he closed the door, he told him, if you want to throw a chair in here, you want to yell at me, you want to swear, I don't care, you go ahead. That's perfectly fine with me. Then we can sit down and work through a solution for the problem. The client, or his customer, just calmed down almost immediately because it brought all of that angst out. And once my client understood the problem, he was able to provide a solution to immediately rectify the situation. And what was good about this is his relationship started right then. And they ended up building a very strong, close relationship. And he ended up not only keeping his contract, but winning a lot more business. The end.
Love it. Love it.
First off, congratulations. It's under 2 minutes long. The worst thing is people talking on and on and lose the listener.
I can't hear you. Great.
It was under 2 minutes long. It was just at 2 minutes, which was great. I would have liked to have heard how he made a change because of working with you. So you talked about how your client, what he did, but what was your impact in all that?
Well,
why?
That wasn't what you asked. You asked us to share a client's story, not my story.
Oh, well, so this is a story that you would use in a sales pitch, right? So if you had a coaching demo, mm-hmm. or you were trying to enroll a client, it's a story that shows your value as a coach.
Yeah, and I think it wasn't completely clear. I did one of each. It wasn't completely clear. It seemed to me it was telling me, go look for a story that a client did. But I wrote the opposite. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so the only thing different I would do with that, Chris, is because he and I work together around conflict resolution or around blah, blah, blah strategy. Well,
I would not talk about that. What I would talk about is that because he was older and he was calm and he's talking to a younger individual, because he was so calm, he sounded like he was half dead. So we had to energize and get him moving. That's what I did with him. Now, as far as a sales pitch, I don't know. I didn't even think about that when we were talking. I was just sharing what I thought was really a really classy thing from an older individual, because he needed to show in any situation he could handle it, because this guy was volatile. That's where I was coming from.
Got it. Cool.
Any feedback for Chris, or should I share mine?
Please share yours.
Okay. So the situation was, I had a client who had the belief that she couldn't get a job because she was 55. The task was, I needed to help her see that she could find a job at 55. The action is, I used multiple techniques to help her see that she could find a job. I shared something that my father told me, you only need one job, and if you look enough, you can find one job. I sent her the story about the pharmacist who became a pharmacist at 80 and got a job. I sent her statistics regarding people finding jobs after 55 or working in the same job past 65. I helped her explore what the source of the belief was that she couldn't get a job. I helped her replace that belief with a new belief, I will find a job. I have skills and experience that will be useful to an employer. The result was that she got a job within 2 weeks, and 2 months later, she got the best job of her life as a college administrator. It matched her authenticity, it matched her skills, and she was incredibly fulfilled.
Nice. That's great.
Any feedback? Yeah.
Sorry. I like how you were specific in what you did to help her and what she needed to overcome and your role in that. And what you did with her sounded creative and customized specifically for her. So it tells me that as a coach, you were really tuned into your clients and come up with solutions for them to get past their own beliefs. It's not cookie cutter approach. Like if I knew nothing about coaching.
Yeah, and I like that you showed how you coach. You showed your value as a coach. Mm-hmm. So you mm-hmm. showed how supportive you were by sending them those articles to start kind of planting seeds that this is totally doable. And then you had conversations with her, and then you started talking about the internal dialogue, you know, like you've got to change your beliefs. So there was a multi-layered approach to your coaching. And it was like, oh, this is great, because she's not judging me for having this belief. She's actually supporting me and shifting it.
You also were able to show in various circumstances that people who you might think would never get a job, like the 80-year-old pharmacist, mm-hmm. that if you were able to help them get a job, you could get anybody help enough to get a job that they wanted.
And you were well under 2 minutes.
Oh, great.
Which is great. Anything else for Donna? Okay, I'm going to share mine. Go ahead, Vicki.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that the presentation was very impactful because when you lead with, so a person has this fear that she's 55 and can't get a job, that's very visceral to anyone who's got a fear like that. And you had so much confidence that your relationship with her changed how she felt about that and changed her results. So I think the presentation was the powerful part.
Nice. Thank you.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you my job search story. Get your feedback. Okay, so I had an executive level client and he was going for a divisional president role in a very large billion-dollar company, and he hired me for job search. He had networked his way into the company. He was having various people campaign for him, dropping his name when appropriate. And we were debriefing his second round of interviews. And I asked him if he had sent a thank you within 24 hours. And he casually said that he had sent a note saying he enjoyed the conversation and looked forward to hearing next steps. He was concerned because he had not heard back from them. And he was getting worried and he was no longer in the running. I then asked him how he showed his value in his thank you letter. And he realized he really didn't show his value and that he was not being deliberate with the opportunity to do so. I then told him how to position a thank you letter by first stating his takeaways in reference to his understanding of their pain and what they needed of this person based on the last conversation. And then in the second paragraph, to bullet point how he solved that pain in the past and why he was the right candidate. The client decided he could recover this and send another thank you, recapping by saying that he had thought about their conversation over the last few days and wanted to reiterate some key points from their conversation. So he did this. He sent it to all three executives he had interviewed with in one email. One of the executives hit reply all by mistake, and only wanting to send it to the other two executives, but it came to my client as well. And he immediately called me and he told me what happened. The email said he's now moved up to my number 3. My client was wondering what he should do with the email, if he should tell the recruiter, whatever. So what happened was they knocked him out of the gate, knocked him out of the role, and now he was moved up to number 3. We discussed it. He decided not to do anything and to see what happened. We assessed that, you know, he had been knocked out. He got a call the following week to come in for the final round. He nailed it, taking the entire process much more seriously, and was offered the position. Mm. I had sensed his almost nonchalant attitude about the job search process, and I knew blind spots would show up, and they did at the thank you to bring his awareness to the need to put attention more diligently and humbly to the importance of using every opportunity as a point to show his value and not hold expectations that he would automatically get a call back. Because a lot of times executive guys, they think that way. They think that they don't have to, I'm so experienced and I've got guys in there dropping my name and you know, this guy got thrown for a loop. So comments?
I thought it was really good, really, really good. I felt like the very beginning maybe didn't match the middle and beyond. I don't know how to articulate that, but somehow, maybe it's just me, but I just kind of got a little lost from the beginning to the middle.
Like, so maybe it's just a matter of telling us what you're going to tell us up front. Just setting it up a little bit differently that way.
So telling the situation that he was in a second round of interviews, he sent a thank you, the thank you said this, nothing really, and he was worried because he wasn't getting a call back. That was the challenge of the situation.
Maybe right at that setup, throwing in some kind of foreshadow that that there's a turnaround involved in recovering from that thank you.
Right. Well, I asked him, well, how did you show your value in the thank you letter? That's what got him to realize he hadn't shown his value in the thank you letter. And that he was taking this way too nonchalantly.
Mm-hmm. Did you say nonchalant when you were talking
with him?
No, in the story. Did you say he was taking it? I could see that he was taking it too nonchalantly.
I said he realized he really, I then asked him how he showed his value in the thank you letter. He realized he really didn't and was not being deliberate with the opportunity to do so.
Maybe it's just, and he realized he needed to. Maybe that ties it together a little bit more. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Vicki?
Or I could just say, no. Make it easy.
Yeah.
Short. No, I really didn't show my value. I just said thank you.
Yeah.
There you go.
So then I told him, you know, how to show his value in a thank you. Basically. And maybe that's it. Maybe I don't have to say how I did that. Mm-hmm. It was too many details, maybe. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that it wasn't clear to me that he was being nonchalant. It felt more like he didn't know what to do, that he wasn't aware of what to do. So,
which is true.
If you wanted to put the nonchalant part in, then you would have to be maybe a little clearer on that.
Yeah, and I didn't put that in there.
And maybe you even say, I've experienced that a lot of top executives are too nonchalant. And I could see that he was one of them.
Or they take it for granted.
Yeah. That they think they're just going to get the job.
Right.
And this could be millennials too.
It could be anybody. Okay. Anything else? Okay, anybody else want to share a job search story?
Sure, I will.
Okay.
Okay, so I worked with a client who was a young professional who was laid off from her job, and she did not see it coming. And she didn't know how to find a job. She had never job searched before because she got this job through a friend of hers. So her challenge, she decided she wanted to hire a career coach because her challenge really was not knowing how to find a position that was suited to her. And after she got laid off, she realized she wasn't all that happy in the position anyway. So I helped her discover what it is she wanted to be doing, how she could find roles that would be more suited to her and aligned with what she wanted to be doing. We worked on her resume that targeted the roles that she wanted to be applying for. We went through interview preparation. We talked about how to ask great questions in the interviews and how to convey the things that she was able to do. So she found, through going through this process, she found a role that she was much happier doing with a nonprofit organization. And she was able to accomplish this within 6 months of our coaching together.
That's good. Within six
wow,
months.
Yeah.
That is really good, having a metric.
Yes, love it.
And you were real specific around how you helped her. I'd add how much confidence she had as a result.
Okay.
Because, I mean, knowledge gives you more confidence.
Yeah.
And you coached her around that, I'm sure.
Yes. Great.
I liked it because it was quite succinct. You went through the process that you took her mm-hmm. in order to get the job and how that prepared her for getting the one she wanted so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it relatable even if you're not a young professional? Although I might choose another example.
If it was relatable.
A young professional, but.
No, I think it is. Okay. It'd be fine.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think it depends on who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking to a young professional, millennial, then use that. If you're talking to somebody 55, I worked with a client who had just gotten laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she'd never been laid off before. So she was kind of in an emotional tailspin.
I might even throw in there that, at least I found this in my life, that almost every time someone gets laid off or fired, they get a job that matches better to them than what they were doing. Mm. You know, so then it makes it like more broad that not only are you helping her, but it kind of brings in that you help a lot of people.
Right. Okay.
Well, yeah, almost like I found the people I've worked with that have been laid off, it's always a gift in disguise. And we don't find out about that until we really start diving into our career exploration. And they end up landing jobs that are more congruent to who they are. And they're happy. Mm-hmm.
And it's initially traumatic, but it ends up being
a good thing.
I wish my husband would get laid off right now.
Well, he must be needing to do his work there, right? That's so funny.
Thank you.
Yours was very clear, Ariana.
Yes. Yeah.
Very clear. Makes me realize I got to reword.
Concise. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, Vicki, do you have any?
I do, and you guys might have to help me tighten this one up a little bit. But I had a, well, I'll call him a career client this summer, and he originally came to me because he's in a higher level role, and he was finding that he would get bites on his resume, but had a lot of first interviews and no further. And he thought he was coming to talk about interviewing skills. And so that's what we began to work on a little bit. What uncovered, though, was that I discerned that he was having a real problem with extrapolating how he went above and beyond. He was so familiar with what he does that he just thought everybody in this role does this and it's all old hat to him. So we worked to unpack some of the accomplishments he had had. And he's in government affairs and has a law degree, so he's pretty intellectually based and process-oriented. So we went through describing what the issue was, what his process was, what the results were from his process, and tracking what changed after he had implemented a process. And he had one story in particular that we talked about that had been a big deal for the agency he worked for. They had had some residential closures that was going to eliminate jobs in various parts of the state. And so that was going to be a harmful story in some respects for the legislators that he wanted to report to and educate. But he also had thought long term, well in advance, when he went about educating and advocating with his legislators. And in addition to having frequently asked questions and fact sheets and all of those data points that legislators would need in order to understand what was happening and to be able to buy into it, he also had personally gathered personal stories and testimonies from people in specific districts who were benefiting from the change in processes, because ultimately they were closing facilities in order to provide services in a different way. And so taking these personal stories to legislators prepared them a little bit more for constituent concerns and questions, and also enabled some legislators to get themselves some attention in their communities because of what good was happening out of this problem. And he ended up, in telling this story to me, he ended up figuring out that doing things like that had made him such a trusted resource that a lot of these legislators in both parties considered him an expert, and it led to him being a resource for them on projects following that, so that he ended up being a point person for his agency on other issues, all because he had taken those steps before. And so from talking through that with me, he was able to tell more stories from an accomplishment orientation rather than this is what I did and this is where I worked.
And did he get to the next round of interviews?
He did. He actually...
So that's what I would talk about, because you start off saying, here was the challenge was to get to the first round and wouldn't get to the next round. I want to hear the result at the end of the story. The result by working with me and tackling these stories, blah blah blah, he got every interview he had, he moved to the next round, and he ended up landing a job he loved.
Okay, great.
Anybody else comment?
I would say I loved the beginning. He had trouble extrapolating what he was doing to go above and beyond. I thought that was really great. I liked that you described him as intellectual because it made him real. And I loved that you were talking about what changed after he implemented his solution. I think where you might be able to cut some is where you were talking about the residential closure. I can't exactly articulate that. And there was a few words when you were talking about facts and data points and so forth, and maybe a little on the testimonial stories. But I felt like it was very real. It was very specific to your industry. So if you were talking with an industry person, it would be really, it would bring them in. And I think you'd need to shift it a little bit if you were talking to somebody in a different industry. Maybe it's just cutting some of that out.
Okay. And so just be free to be shorter with it and say, we talked through what those were so that he could see what he did that was different than what any person might do.
That's the kernel of the story. Yeah,
just like you said, you helped him extrapolate his sweet spot. As a result, all these lobbyists were coming to him for advice.
Awesome.
You don't have to tell them what you actually did. Just you helped him extrapolate it. And my guess is he became way more confident because he started owning his strength.
Well, one result for him seemed to be that it made him better at targeting who he wanted to interview with, too.
There you go.
Love that.
Good result.
That's another metric.
Yeah. I almost feel like I think what we're talking about here is just getting, more succinct with what, the journey that he went through and where you helped. Because I almost find that the added details take away from the impact a little bit. So, because it's a really good story. Very relatable.
Yeah, and I think we have to stay focused on how we help them. Because we're trying to sell ourselves. just like you said, Vicki, I helped him extrapolate and figure out what his sweet spot was. And then he did this, and he got this. He couldn't have done that without me.
And part of the way you're going to use this is when you're on a sales call and they say, what success have you had? Or can you tell me about a client that had success? Then you've got the story ready. You know, you can tell it, you can tell it on your website, you can tell it in person, but I think it's a sales story.
Yep.
And so I may only use a part of it depending on the circumstance.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get rid of the details. That's what I got to do. I went into too much.
Yeah. Yeah. It don't totally take everything out because it makes it real, but take some of it out.
Well, and that's a good point because what strikes me is my comfort zone is talking about him more than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I go that direction.
Yeah, you got to shift that, girl.
Own it, Nikki. Own it.
True confession time.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, what about any other? I have a career exploration story. Can I share that and see if it's any better?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was hired by a client who was a recruiter. And she wanted to get out of recruiting. And she knew in a matter of time she'd be laid off because the company was going through all this reorg. And she felt very worried. She was not sure what she would want to do, how she would transfer her skills. And she wasn't even clear on the criteria of really what she wanted next. And she kept holding this negative idea that she could not create what she really wanted. She wanted a virtual role. And she needed it to be part-time and making the same kind of money she was making. So we had some career exploration conversations. We did various exercises. We got clear on her criteria. We worked through her negative beliefs about creating what she really wanted. And we did it baby step by baby step. We went at her pace. And she ended up shifting and realizing that she could create what she wanted. She got clear on that job search coaching would be a natural fit for her and one she would enjoy and would actually leverage her current network. And she enrolled in a coaching certification program. She landed a part-time job with a career coaching company where she lived, and she started coaching individual clients in her own business. Mm-hmm. She was making the money, working virtually, and part-time hours she desired.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
I need to put a timeline on that, I think. How much time it took her.
Yeah.
Maybe. Add a timeline.
I might add step-by-step plan that you created, too, with her.
You also showed that it doesn't have to happen overnight. It's all about her gaining insight into who she really was and what she really wanted to do.
And that takes time.
Yes, it does.
Her concerns and challenges at the beginning are, I think, relatable for anybody mm-hmm. thinking about making a change and they haven't started yet. Because the concern usually is around, is it possible? Can I make the same money? Can I do something that I enjoy? Do I have to start off at the beginning, the bottom of the water? So very relatable. I like how you set that up.
Well, and then I added one last thing. I said, actually working, I worked with her to shift her inside negative beliefs about creating her desire, and then supported her in taking those baby steps at her pace mm-hmm. to investigate what could be possible options. And that led her to creating exactly what she desired, enough though that when we started, she didn't think that it would even be possible.
Yeah.
Another thing you might consider putting in is, I find that when I work with clients and they get clarity, then they're able to take the action and it's easy for them and they're passionate and excited. And getting that clarity is what helps them move forward. And through coaching, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's good. Because I say that in conversation when they're all over the place. It's like, well, the first thing that's most important is to get clear, because until you're clear, you can't bring it in.
Yes.
And so that's what we do with our process.
Yeah, people get unstoppable when they know the direction and they know it looks good for them.
Great, thank you. Anybody else want to share another story? Okay, well, that was helpful. So, what one to three questions have been the most powerful when a client is looking to transfer into another industry or function? What's worked for y'all?
I have a few questions that are more thinking questions, because usually I find that clients who are wanting to move, there's some kind of emotional thing going on as well. And so these are the three questions that I tend to ask at different times, of course. How clear is your thinking about making this move? How do you know moving to another industry is really worthwhile to achieve? What comes up for you when you think about making this move?
Love it. You want me to share mine?
Sure.
Okay. So.
Hey, and if y'all can send me these questions, then I'll put them in a Word doc and we can share them.
That's awesome. I have, what lights you up? What did you do in the past that you really enjoyed? What part of your current job would align with other industries? What volunteer work would you like to do, or what volunteer work could help you move to a new industry? What industries are related to your industry that you want to explore? And just one more, who do you know who works in the industry you want to move to?
Great. Ariana or Vicky?
This is Vicki. What are your expectations for a career in the new industry? What are one or two things that must be there for the transition to have been a good move for you? And sometimes I ask that in terms of, I might say 5 years from now or something like that. And then another one is, what are your fears around what you don't know?
Mm. That was the last one.
Ariana?
Yeah, so some of them have been covered, but I guess I'll... what is it about your current role you don't like? And then what do you like? And when... think of another role or situation in your current career when you felt satisfied or happy. What does this new industry represent for you? And when you, so I have four, when you let your mind wander about this new industry or new role, what do you daydream about?
Love it.
I have, I just listed two. What do you do or have you done in your work that has given you energy? And then what have you done in your career that's depleted your energy?
Could you say that again, please?
What have you done in your career that's depleted your energy? Oh. What gives you energy and what doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good questions.
Yeah, so let's all, everybody send them to me and then I'll put them in a document because that can help us out.
Vicki, did you have some?
I gave mine.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Them. Okay, I'm having a moment.
I think everybody did.
Okay, sorry.
I have another question, though, around this.
Okay.
So some version of this has come up for me in some conversations with two people in a very short, probably the past month or so. People thinking about transferring to a new industry, but there's a sense of they're only thinking of an industry because they feel familiar with it and they haven't really stretched themselves on what other possibilities there are. And so I was trying to come up with a question that might help trigger some deeper thought around that.
Would something like who could you talk to that may have some information about that particular industry?
Or could it be something like what, when you think about careers that you've been exposed to on television and with people and as you've gone through your days, what has been interesting to you?
Okay, that's a good path. Because I think sometimes our interests are, we don't know how to put them in a box of a particular job or something.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can get them to list some things they're interested in, and then when you see those topics, you can help them turn them into jobs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we bring some expertise in. I mean, I think, you know, I would give a couple, and then I'd say, okay, what can you think of? You know, I'm interested in birds. So I can think of, you know, pet psychologist. I can think of, you know, zookeeper, I can think of, you know, what, these are the things I think of. Now, what can you think of?
Okay. That's good. I like that.
Okay. So what top two or three processes do you feel you use that really support the client in gaining clarity around their next move? Since clarity is the key.
Want me to, Ariana's ready. Go.
Sure. So in terms of processes, I really like diving into, first off, what is, you know, what I hear first from a client is about what's not working. So I like to really spend some time on what is working. To create some awareness around that and some learning, and that could help us point us in a direction. And then I think inventories that help support self-awareness. So whatever that could be, I mean, Kiersey temperament or strengths or anything, strength finders or anything else, but some kind of self-awareness, especially if a client is not very self-aware. But I think even if, I think it's good to use. So I have a lot of success with that. And then I'll mention the career matrix, but I guess the fourth thing I was thinking too was finding, it's not a process really, but it's something that I try to do, and it's finding threads and commonalities. Mm. So I try to find, really hone in on if a client is mentioning things maybe in different ways, but how they relate to each other. So teaching might be an example. If somebody really liked helping with onboarding in a current role, but, and then maybe years ago they used to do some training, or, you know, and they said that these are time moments where they were happy. So I, you know, finding those threads in a career, I think is useful. So that's something I try to do.
Love it. I mean, obviously I use all the tools that we talk about, and I love values in action, but I tried to come up with some beyond that, and one would be your perfect day, describing what your perfect day at your job is, describing your ideal job. Leadership vision sometimes brings out some of this. The 95-year-old exercise, if you were looking back on your life, what would you want it to have done, and what impact would you want to make, and so forth. That can also be obituary, write your obituary. So those are some ones beyond.
I think that clarity is extremely important, and through the entire process, they begin to learn more and more about themselves. So I do the same, like what you have both mentioned. And also in the goal setting process of what is it that you're looking for and how to visualize what that might look like without even thinking about what the job specifically is. Like you were saying, your perfect day, or think about being in a different setting. What would you want to experience? You know, is it very structured? Is it free flowing? Is it face to face? All those kinds of things. And as we set the goals, then there's metrics. How do you know that you'll get there? What are the things that you're looking for so that as you're moving forward, we can see how close you're getting to that? I like the career matrix with the associated assessments to help the client become more aware of some of the things that they may not be aware of. And I use a thought process that I call it my branding process. It's three steps. You know, what's my story? What do I want people to know about me? Once I understand that, what is my consistent message in words, actions, image that I want to portray? And in telling my story, how can I do it clearly and concisely as I communicate to others what I want them to know? When they're doing all of that, they become more clear about who they are and what they want to show about themselves.
Nice.
Great. Vicki, anything?
Yes, I have a couple of things, and I was more general than to the specific career process because I misunderstood a little bit, but I still use them in any setting. I find for decision making, I tend to lean toward pro and con evaluation a good bit. And part of that, what I find valuable about it, so I experienced two situations, much like what Ariana said, but it's easier for us to name what we don't want right away. And so I want to find that balance. But I also find there's a flip side where we make the cons much bigger in our head because we don't actually evaluate them and we have this fear about how big they can get. And so I do that sometimes with some clients because they have to sit down and verbally do it with me or they'll just generalize it too much, I think. Another one that I lean to sometimes is what I call, let's set up some guardrails. And by that, I want to go through and list the things that we're not going to do anymore, that we're not going to pursue anymore, or that we know isn't of value and that we don't want to keep spending time on in order to just kind of keep us away from activities that distract us.
Oh, interesting.
Awesome. Vicki, can I add something to your pro and con here? You're saying sometimes they make them too important. What I do is I have them rate the importance 1 to 9. And so then they start to see, oh, it's really just this one. They tie emotions to all of them, but it's really just this one. And so they can focus in and say, if I just don't get that in this next job, then it will be okay. So the
that's good. I like that.
Putting the numerical on there helps with that.
Good. Thank you.
So I give people a 3-page exercise. And on the first page, I tell them to write down, I tell them get those giant sticky notes to put on your wall. And on the first page, write down, these are all the things I've done in my life and my career that gave me energy. What were they? And then on the second page, the things you've done in your career that depleted your energy. So the first page is typically your strengths, The second page, you don't really want to do again. On the third page, write what you want to evolve into. What do you want to grow in yourself next? What's the next iteration? And ideally, we want to look at the first page and the second and the third page. You know, what are the strengths of the first page? Those are the things that gave you energy and where you want to go, what you want to learn, what you want to evolve into is the third page. So that brings a lot of awareness to clients about where the direction is they want to take their career and some of the elements associated. And then also, I think just having conversations with people in their network and the role that they're considering is hugely key. Because they're going to get other referrals, they're going to get a good idea of what it's like, and they may come back and say, yeah, no way do I want to do that. So I think that really helps them doing that. What was the most difficult career client you've worked with and why?
Oh, it sounds like Chris has got a good one for that.
Yeah.
Well, I already shared her in my carry the box exercise where I was naked in front of all of you. But in the beginning, we seemed to have a good rapport, and she prepaid for 10 sessions. But then I found after a couple of sessions, I was feeling rather drained when I talked with her. And after about, I think it was the fourth one, I said, you know, maybe we shouldn't continue. I can give you back the rest of your money, but I don't think I'm giving you the value that you've been looking for. Oh, no, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. And I said, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. Such a sweet lady. So I said, okay. And what would happen is we would have a talk. We would talk about strategies and all that. And what I found was she heard, but she didn't listen. And the next time we came back, she hadn't done anything. All she would say is, I can't change anything here. Just can't change anything here. They're all against me kind of thing. So my question to her is, well, why do you stay? You know, if it's so terrible, why are you staying? And she went through, I just moved here and this is a small town and I can't blah, blah, blah. Okay. So then, she didn't show up for two of the sessions without telling me. She just didn't show up. And in my agreement, I said, if you don't show up, you don't tell me, then that's just it. You know, you pay for that session that way. So she came to eight. She didn't do two. And we just kind of decided we weren't going to continue. But the good thing about all of this was, because I felt I was working so hard when I was doing the carry the box exercise with you all and then continued it on with Donna afterwards, I thought I was failing her as a coach. And through this experience and carry the box and doing some reflection, I realized I do not have responsibility for another person's achievement. And that's their journey, not mine. Because I felt guilty, like I wasn't doing what I should. So I realized she just was not coachable. She just wasn't, and I just let it go, and it felt so good. And it has actually made all my coaching a lot deeper, because I'm not afraid to go in really deep with some strange out of mind questions that just kind of pop up. So it has helped me. Although I never, ever, ever want to work with her again.
Well, sounds like you learned from it though.
I did. I learned from every coaching engagement, but that one was a nightmare.
I have one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this client's confident, shining face on LinkedIn as I'm writing this. I had a client who was just coming out of therapy for very controlling parents and substance abuse. She still lived at home. She was a waitress. It paid well, but it was unfulfilling, and she was scared of everything. She wanted to work in a nonprofit, so I helped her figure out how to get an internship at the Red Cross. I could see her confidence building as she set up venues for blood drives. Then she worked on, then she actually got offered a job, and then she worked on moving out of her parents' house. It was slow with a lot of fits and starts, but she did it, and I helped by reinforcing all the small steps that she took forward, and helping her keep a focus on her goals by describing what her life is going to be like when she lived on her own and had a job that was even more fulfilling. We dug into her beliefs that were getting in the way, and replaced them with, I can live on my own. I can support myself. I can solve problems. I have resources, friends, a therapist, a coach to support me in the difficult times. We also created a list of her personal successes, and building her resume built her confidence as well. She had been downplaying the things that she'd done at the restaurant and in college and in volunteer work. She received some feedback at work that she was too timid and indecisive. So we did role plays and again worked on getting rid of limiting beliefs and explored what's the worst thing that could happen. She then applied to work in an art gallery and was able to move up into supervision. And now she's in a job managing major gifts for a nonprofit music venue. And when I look at her face, I just smile to see the confidence that she's built. That it was a long road.
That's a sales pitch story.
That is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's posting worthwhile.
Yeah. I was purposely looking for stories. Beautiful. With happy endings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I do have happy endings. That just wasn't one of them.
Exactly. And it was really valuable to hear yours, Chris. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Anybody else?
Hi, this is Vicki.
Oh,
Vicki,
go ahead.
I have a couple, and one just to make a more generalized one. I had a client a while back who just seemed apathetic and negative, and I couldn't shake him out of that. And much like Chris said earlier, we had an okay start because I could relate to him very well, and he was very personably a nice person to work with. But after some time of working with him, I just realized it was just all negativity, and I couldn't shake that loose. If we would brainstorm, he would stop at every comment to tell me what was wrong with that or why he hated that. And those were just the types of conversations we had. So that it was always like pulling, and it took away a lot of my energy. But this summer, I also worked with a client, and this was a pro bono barter situation. So it was short term from the beginning. And I'm not sure if I would have resolved it if I worked with her longer. But she's a business person, but she does pyramid marketing, the multi-level marketing. And so she wanted to coach on her motivation and mindset. And she's really easy to work with, and she's very energized and wants to accomplish her goals. But I'll ask a lot of questions before I work with someone doing the MLM again, because they're very coached in their system and very rigid to their systems and not open to other ideas. And every walking, breathing person is a supposed target customer to them. And it's hard to get her to focus on anything in particular. And she seemed to really enjoy mindset conversation over and over and over again. So I think I'll be cautious about signing on one of them for a while.
I won't take one of those either.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Okay, Ariana, did you have one? We only have a few more minutes left.
Yeah, mine's relatively short. So one of my challenging clients, so he was lovely to work with. It doesn't have a great, anyway, he was lovely to work with. We got along very well. His problem really, a challenge was really taking action.
Mm-hmm.
So he came for job search. He had worked in a position for decades and he was laid off. So not by his choice. And we would talk about job search strategies. We explored potential types of roles, you know, what would make him happy. We went through all of that. He did really well in doing the work that he could do on his own, like the resume and writing cover letters and applying for jobs, but it really, he had a hard time moving past that. We talked about, we coached around the fear of reaching out. We coached around what a new job would look like, what his life could look like. We brainstormed different business ideas to even do, start a, you know, small business. He eventually went to some networking meetings. He eventually went to set up some informational interviews, but they were with people he already knew.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just challenging to, and every time we would come to a session, he would, you know, there was something that happened that prevented him from taking some action. And we talked about that, but it really didn't change. And then eventually he just had to stop coaching because it had been so long that he couldn't afford it anymore. Which is a shame. Anyway, so that's my challenging client situation. It was really challenging to get to move him into action. And so that's why Chris's story resonated with me because, mm-hmm. you know, we aren't responsible for our client taking action and the results they get, but I sure tried hard.
Yeah, very much so.
To get him there, and it was just challenging. So, you know, what I learned from that, I still reflect on it. I think I would in the beginning I was quite understanding and maybe too sympathetic of him, you know, things that had come up in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe would have challenged him a little sooner, starting, you know, I'm noticing that these things aren't happening and I'm noticing, you know, so maybe getting on top of that a little earlier. I don't know if in this case it would have made a difference, but I'd like to try that next if I were in that situation again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe hold on to the vision a little bit stronger for him and keep that, you know, in front of him. So those are the two things I've come up with that I would do differently next time. But so that's the situation.
I'm going to have to leave. That was a great story. I appreciate that. End code is what you wanted. Remind
me. Oh, thanks.
See you guys.
Bye, Chris. Thanks for coming. Okay, well, let's just go around and say what you're committing to do as a result of this session.
Hmm. I'll go.
Go ahead, Donna.
Okay. I am going to use some of this as material for the website. I think it's going to help me have even, you know, stronger and more focused conversations. And I want to put up a page with all the tools that people had. So if you could send those tools, maybe with a short description, if it's not self-explanatory, send them to Katie and then I'll take, you know, that and get it up on the website. And I just love what Ariana took away and learned from that experience because we all struggle with that. We want the best for them. And I love the concept of being a little harder and taking more risks early because I think it's easy to like the client and just kind of go on with with where they are. And you do have to do that some, but you also need to take risks and get in their face. And that's really hard work. And you have to be ready for them to leave. Sometimes people leave and they come back to me years later and say, that was a change for me. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ariana, what are you taking away?
Yeah, so I'm taking away, I want to use my smart story in consultations. And I am going to review the list of questions and review the mm-hmm. tools. Those are the two commitments I'm making.
Great. Vicki?
My number one thing is to take the smart story and simplify it and turn it into the results from coaching instead of talking about my client and hiding behind that. And I think that maybe it would be in my best interest to actually at least come up with at least three of these that I can practice and commit to using once in a while and using in consultation so that I become more comfortable with not only recognizing they exist, but explaining them easily.
Awesome.
Great. My takeaway is definitely to rework my story so they're more concise and to really come up with a leadership. I want a leadership story and rework the career stories and then to review the questions because there's some good questions.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say thank you to Katie. She did an amazing job today. I would say it was incredibly insightful. I loved the interaction that she created and that people participated and did their pre-work, and the pre-work really enriched all of us, I believe. It was helpful, and what I see even in this moment is growth in all of your coaching skills. And also, I got to see more about you, so that helps me sell you. I think Ariana, the same thing. You saw more about them, and that it builds your confidence about, you know, how you could sell someone. So this was amazing, and I just really want to thank you, Katie.
You're welcome.
Great job.
Thank you.
Great job.
Yeah. I'm glad everybody prepared.
I was a little nervous.
I know. It makes a difference.
And I prepared this morning, so.
At least you're prepared.
Yeah. Doesn't matter when you do it.
No.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a great week ahead.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you.
Thanks, all of you. You're wonderful.
Bye.
Bye.